Story County Board of County Commissioners will now come to order. We'll start off this morning with the Pledge of Allegiance. If anybody has any cell phones, if you'll put them on silent now, it's not to interrupt the meeting. So please join me.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so I'm going to start out this morning. Those of you that have been paying attention to the news this morning, that Los Angeles schools are closed up from a credible terrorist threat. It seems like it's going to be more the norm for this country. A couple of weeks ago, the terrorist attack in San Bernardino that murdered 14 and wounded many others. To think that a neighbor who saw something suspicious didn't report it simply because they were afraid of being called a bigot or a racist. This can't go forward. As FBI and Homeland Security suggest, if you see something, say something. And that goes for everybody in this country. I mean, it could happen anywhere. It could happen here. With that said, I'm going to ask the sheriff to come up and say a few words, perhaps to give us a little insight on how we should look at it from law enforcement's viewpoint. Sheriff.
Good morning. Best thing probably just be watchful. Anything you see that's out of line, don't be worried about being called names or that you're a bigot or a racist or anything. If you see something, say something. There's going to be a program on the 7th at the Gold Hill where I'm going to be talking about this in length, so I would invite everybody to come. But I don't think we need to be overly concerned in our little corner of Shangri-La. But if you do see something, say something. No matter how silly it might seem or how minor it might seem, report it.
Thank you, Sheriff. At this time, I think it'd be appropriate to take a moment of silence for the 14 that were lost in San Bernardino. Move along now to item number 3. This is discussion of possible action, the approval of the agenda for this date, December the 15th, 2015. Does anybody have any questions regarding today's agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion for approval.
I'll move to approve the agenda for December 15th,
2015. I'll second that motion.
We move to second to approve the agenda for December the 15th, 2015. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 4. Discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for November the 3rd of 2015. Does anybody have any questions, concerns about the minutes of November the 3rd? Commissioner McGuffey?
It's just a clerical error, page 11. Right above a discussion of possible action in the middle of the page on the second to last sentence, the county would have to front the cost. However, lien A can be placed on the property. And it should say A lien can be placed on the property. That's it.
Any other errors or omissions in today's minutes or the November the 3rd minutes? Hearing none, call for approval of the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of November 3rd, 2015, with the change on page 11 to add the initial A prior to the word lien in the 1-5th paragraph, last line.
I'll second that motion.
Moving to second to approve the minutes with the corrections noted. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. All right, moving along now to the consent agenda. Are there any questions, concerns regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, motion to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All right, motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 11. This is discussion only. No action or public comment will be taken. This is the committee and staff reports. Who'd like to start this morning? Jason?
Nothing today, thank you.
Nothing today? Chris, if you have anything from Terry. Is he on the GID up there?
Sure.
Mr. Thompson, do you have anything to report today from the TRA?
On the GID.
The GID? No. Okay. From the assessor's office, Ms. Seddon.
Good morning. I just would like to let everyone know that legislature change the way that our tax roll is to be presented to the county, the residents this year. So previously, we used to post it in the newspaper. 3 years ago, we came before the board and asked that we be able to send the tax roll to all the residents. However, it's still, even though that was about a little over a 50% reduction in cost, it's always been a huge issue, not with just our county, but all the other counties in Nevada, the other 17 counties, or excuse me, all 17 counties. With the budget cuts, the tremendous amount of money that we are spending, especially now that we have to have all this stuff put out on the internet and on the web, the county web, it's double the work, double the cost. This year, legislature finally approved through SB 95, I believe it is, that we are allowed now to post it only on the internet. We do not have to put it in the paper. We do not have to send it to individuals. However, what we will be doing is this year, and only this year, we have to do 4 full one-page ads 4 times a year. Excuse me. 1 full-page ad 4 times a year, basically stating what our office does, how you can find the tax roll, the different things that our office does, the exemptions, basically what the role of the assessor's office is. So this year, the other requirement is we will have it posted in our office. If someone would like to see it, they can request a copy be mailed to them. Or, like I said, they will be at the library, they will be in our office, and it will be available on the internet. So if anybody may complain or that if they don't get the newspapers and they don't read the newspapers and they don't, all of a sudden they're not getting the tax roll in their mailbox, now everybody kind of knows where it's at. It's going to be on the internet or in our office or at the public library. So
is there a cost incurred if they wanted a hard copy?
No, there is no cost incurred if they want a hard copy. None whatsoever.
When it's posted on the website, it's going to be put like in a PDF format so they can easily print it for themselves?
It should be. I believe everything that's on our county website can be printed in a PDF format. That's pretty much, I believe, the way IT has everything set up. So, and if they don't want, they can just call our office once again and request a printed form, and we'll mail it to them free of charge.
Okay. Everything, Lance?
No, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, John. Okay. Senior planner, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, commissioners. All I want to mention to the public is that our next master plan workshop will be occurring this December 17th, this Thursday, here at the Story County Courthouse. And then in about an hour after this meeting, public facilities and uses chapter will be released for the public review and comment. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Austin. The Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. There's a couple of things that is on our horizon that I would like to bring up today. Yesterday, I picked up a draft of the 2015 audit report by David Pringle, CPA. Between now and the first date, I think, is the 5th of January, where we'll be asking for your approval of this. Staff will be going through to make sure that all the necessary requirements and all of the factual information is there, so we can fairly present this to the Commission with Pringle CPA. It also earmarks a period which we were discussing last year concerning the possibility of a property tax rollback. We did not know at that point in time what our financial situation was going to be for 2015. Now that we have that, we can now go forward with some of the analysis and documentation that we will need to present this to the Commission probably sometime in February or March. Along with this goes, of course, what we think our budgets are going to be for 2016, 2017, and a glimpse of what we think our five-year capital project, our capital improvement plan is going to be, which is something we've never done, but we have to extend that now because of all of the things that are happening, particularly with the increase in the great increase in business activity in the industrial park. So that will be coming forward. In addition, there'll be a ballot question next November on fuel tax indexing. Now, I'm not going to go too much into this because it's fairly confusing and very, instead of using a set rate, there's an indexing, Washoe County and Clark County, and I believe Carson does it now. It's a very kind of complicated set of events that we have to put in place, providing that the taxpayers at that point in time approve the initiative that's there. But it's very complicated. I will be at least advising or at least giving you information when all of that becomes available.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
The fuel tax thing that's proposed to go on the next year's ballot, ask the voters if they would approve the county commission being able to raise tax on special or selected fuels. That might be okay for a truck stop type scenario, but I mean, I hate to see something happen to our little station here in town. You know, that, I'm sure they don't want another tax. So. Just kind of keep that in mind.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Guffey. District Attorney Langer.
Actually, I'm going back to the consent agenda. And it's not a staff report. I just want a clarification on number 8, the liquor license for Tina Perkins. My understanding is that the consent agenda is only talking about the liquor license, correct? Because Mr. Maltantano already has a business license. And in the staff report from the sheriff's office, it says requesting a general business license and liquor license. Well, since there is also already a general license that Mr. Maltantano holds, the only issue that is on the consent agenda is for the liquor license, and I just wanted a clarification. Is that what we're talking about today?
So the question is, are we also required?
Does
the applicant also have a business license on top of the liquor license?
No, that would be duplicate.
Yeah.
But it says it in the staff report, so I just wanted to...
There was an error. It's for a general license and a liquor license. You can't have a liquor license without having a general license. The licensing in this instance is Mr. Malfitano's general license will apply to any parts that are not under lease to Ms. Perkins. There's a lease agreement in place which requires her to have her own licensing.
Okay, so they're on the agenda. It's not scheduled for it's just a liquor license. It's only in the staff report it indicates another type of license, but I don't know if that is given in that heads up.
It may have been an error. It'll be corrected on at the next meeting, but it should be for both general and liquor. You can't have any kind of specialty license without having a general business license. So.
Right. So you basically what you're saying is that anything that Ms. Perkins needs as a general license with her lease belongs to her. Anything that's left over belongs to Mr. Malfantano.
Now, I haven't read through the terms of the lease agreement. If it applies to, say, the Bonanza or the downstairs of the Delta, then that's what is being leased, and Mr. Malfantano will be able to still run the upstairs of the Delta with his license as a general license. So,
well, I read the lease, and I'm not sure if it's that specific. So it's just something as a heads-up, as a staff comment on what we'll be looking into before the second reading, because there is some confusion here, and I want to make sure that everybody on the board knows exactly what...
The first reading is basically to bring it to the attention of the board, and I don't know if there's anything to get into the specifics. That's why I'm not worried about reading the lease yet. I just know there is a lease agreement in place,
and
it's with my investigator.
It will
all be done and done proper by the time we get to final approval. So.
Okay.
So the question that I would have is if Ms. Perkins comes forward with an application for general business license. At that point, if it's to be approved, then does Mr. Malfantano surrender his general business license since we don't have duplicate licensing for the same establishment?
Again, I have to go back to whatever the lease is. She has made the application. It was put on the agenda in error is all. It should be general and liquor. She has already filled out all the necessary paperwork and everything. As far as Mr. Malfantano's general business license, like I said, it's going to depend on what the particulars of the lease are. If he's leasing her only the downstairs of the building, his general business license still applies to the upstairs.
Okay.
And, you know, so it's, but if she's going to be running the full establishment, then yes, his general business license goes null and void.
Okay. So then we should have full clarity by the January 5th meeting.
Correct.
On this.
Would she then require a special permit to serve alcohol upstairs?
Excuse me?
Would she require a special license to serve, to run a bar upstairs for special events?
Who would? Ms. Perkins?
Yes.
That depends on how it all gets done up. I mean, it's part of the same establishment. Unless she opened a secondary bar upstairs, it would still fall under a primary bar if everything's coming from downstairs. If there's going to be a secondary bar, then it's a $50 charge for a service bar. Those things are all addressed in the ordinance.
Excuse me, everyone. Before we go any further than this, it's just, like I said, a clarification. It now is turning into a consent agenda item where it should be moved, I think, to the agenda, and that there should be people should be allowed public comment on this, even though it is a first reading, because
The consent agenda has already been approved, and like I said, this is just to bring it to the board's attention. The discussion and all of the answers will be forthcoming at the second meeting. There's not a whole lot to discuss at this point in time, and we're still in the process of the background investigation.
I agree with you. I'm going to take the recommendation of legal counsel on this, and since we did open up item 8 outside of the consent agenda, I'll simply ask for any public comment on it, because that way... I don't have Mark marching down to the AG's office following an open meeting law complaint against me. So.
As a joke, Mark, I'm just giving you credit there.
We'll take any public comment if anybody wishes to testify. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Sheriff. Okay.
That's all I have.
All right. Thank you, DA. So now you're up, Sheriff Jerry. Anything to report today? Could have stopped you while you were up there. County Manager Whitten?
No, nothing, Mr. Chairman.
Madam Clerk?
Okay.
Nothing today? All right. Moving along now, we're going to move to item number 12. This is board comment, no action, or public comment taken. Commissioner McGuffey?
Yes. It's been kind of busy here. First, the NACO board. We've got a lot of irons in the fire. One of the things that's kind of the hot topic is the waters of the U.S. I don't know if you're aware of that, but the EPA and another organization are trying to take control and regulate all waterways, ditches, gutters, ponds, you name it. Even waterways that only have water during flash floods and stuff like that. There's 31 lawsuits against the government on this that's been submitted. Nevada hasn't submitted a lawsuit, but the NACO board has submitted a letter of asking for denial of this move. Okay. So that's where it stands right now. I'm sure we have a NACO board meeting or the National NACO in Washington in February, so I'm sure that's going to get heavily discussed there. American Lands Council announced that Utah is suing the federal government they want control of all their government land. Nevada NACO is kind of sitting on the sidelines watching this because it's kind of a scenario where be careful what you wish for, because if we end up with it, then it's our responsibility to take care of it, and that costs money to maintain it and manage it. But the American Lands Council, they claim that the government loses 27 cents per dollar invested in maintaining these lands, whereas they claim states can generate $14 per dollar spent. They didn't get into any details on how that's done. Another hot topic throughout the U.S., and it indirectly affects us right now. First, we already talked about the ballot question for the gas. That's going to be it's intended to be on the next ballot as a ballot question to ask voters to okay county commissioners to impose a tax on special fuels. So there's a lot to discuss on that. St. Mary's board, of course, has been very solvent. They've got a new gallery and a new building manager. These two people have really come up to speed really fast. They're doing a great job. Fourth Ward School, of course, I'm on that board. We just recently had two officers on the board resign or retire. They'll probably try to fill those two positions in the January meeting. And that's all I have for now.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner McGuffey.
Oh, I'm sorry. I do have one more. I saved the worst for last. The V&T Railway, we had a meeting last night. There was a lot of agenda. We basically approved the budget or the audit, last year's audit. We renewed a lot of agreements and contracts that we had. The only maybe one change, just changed hands, but it was somebody who's always been there. The audit report says that we're $214,000 over, and so we're doing well there. But then I have a question, and that's with the that's with Story County handing them $203,000 out of the quarter cent tax pot. Okay, and so I'm having a problem with that personally. I don't know if I think it's personally for the county. The thing is we're the only ones putting into this pot, and I see the appearance that maybe the Carson City is kind of expecting that money and doing what they want with it. And we want some development and going on up here. Right now, they sold the Draco building, so all they need to do now is do some grading and lay a track to make a loop so they can turn the train around. up here, we want to build our train station, and we haven't been able to move forward since the crunch. So Mr. Gallagher is, that's why he's doing his own audit to see per the agreement that we have where that money's supposed to go and where it's been going. So we're kind of, nobody seems to really know except those guys. So we want to kind of get on our own page and get control of that money. And I mean, if I don't want to pay Carson City our money that we're collecting for our train. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. That's all I have to say.
May I make a comment to
sure.
the
sure, go
commissioner?
Ahead.
And Lance can attest to this. Probably even better than I do. Frequently when we're working with companies for site selections on properties, especially if they are large companies without heavily abated sales and use tax, every quarter cent of our sales and use tax is a challenge at the table. And particularly when, as you'll recall, and again, I'm not sure if Lance is going to weigh in on this one or not, because I don't think that there's anything actively on the table, but as you will recall, the commission approved by unanimous vote a boundary zone change on 600 acres of industrial park property that was in Washoe County, is now in Story County. It's always been the vision and the hope that that property's highest and best use could be retail-oriented. And in my discussions outside of Commissioner Gilman, again, our sales tax rate being only 0.8% less than Washoe, Reno Sparks Washoe right now, is another challenge. So what I am suggesting, maybe we might consider at some point, and it wouldn't be the county commission, it would be, you know, individual citizens in the county, is maybe we ought to look long and hard at repealing our quarter cent voter approved override. It would need to be done, I presume, through the vote. But that quarter cent, if all it's doing is subsidizing, putting money in somebody else's pocket, we can better parlay that to our advantage when we work with these types of companies.
Well, that's where we want to review that interlocal agreement we have with the B&T. To see exactly where that money's going. Nobody else is putting in the pot, and all of a sudden they're counting on this money from us. I've been an advocate for the V&T from day one, and I was an advocate for the tax and the advocate for the renewal of the tax, but now I'm having second thoughts. But it's not that my second thoughts are related to Carson City getting the money or that portion of the track, where nothing's coming and staying in Story County. I think if we've got a tax that the voters approved for, I think they were expecting us to spend it here, not down there.
That was the spirit.
That's what I want to do.
That was the spirit and intent of the interlocal agreement, no matter what they say.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner McGuffey. Vice Chairman Gilman.
Nothing this morning, thank you.
All right, I've got a couple of things. Those that were in Virginia City last Saturday night were able to witness a very nice Christmas parade, as usual, the Christmas on the Comstock celebration. It brings a lot of people to town, and those that fared the cold weather, whether they decorated their vehicles as floats or stood out in the cold, having hot buttered rums or chili that was being served as a fundraiser. It was a big success, and they sold out of the chili for the first time ever, which is a good deal for the school project. We're also like to announce the passing of former County Commissioner Shirley Colletti. She was the River District representative down there. I think she served two terms, Story County. She was a colorful individual, was a brothel manager at the Mustang Ranch. Ended up being the fall person for Joe Conforti and went to prison. I used to attend meetings when they were held actually where Justice Court is today, right across the hallway there. And the meetings in those days were a little less formal than they are today, and as people would appear and ask for help from the county, they would come up with unagendized items and need help with the school program or whatever it was. And the county was very poor in those days and didn't have a lot of money to spare. So if the county agreed to maybe put up $250 of the $500 that was being asked for, Shirley would actually take her own personal checkbook out of her purse, and she would write another check for the $250. So she was a very generous individual, and I'm sure that the residents and her family of the River District will surely miss her. So, and, you know, that concludes my comments. We're going to move on now to item number 13. This is discussion on possible action. Consideration and public action to enter into contract with Tax Management Associates Incorporated. Pursuant to the contract, TMA will provide audit services on behalf of the Story County Assessor's Office to verify the accuracy of business taxpayers' listing of personal property for ad valorem taxation.
So Mr. Chairman, in an abundance of caution, NRS 281A.420 requires me to disclose a conflict of interest in this item, the matter before this body. And it affects my pecuniary interest in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. I believe it's a clear case of a disqualifying conflict of interest, and I'm going to be abstaining on voting or entering any further discussions on the matter.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I know that there were a couple of issues when this item appeared on the last commission agenda, and I'll address one and then have the other taken from there. It was expressed that we might potentially be creating a unique situation in auditing some of these firms through that might work against our best interest in attracting new businesses or retaining businesses. Since then, I've received communication from Chris Thompson, you know, indicating not only are they very comfortable with this part of the process, we're simply just asking, making sure that people pay their proper taxes. But he had a great suggestion as well that I'm working with the company on. I don't think this one's going to work out, but we'll find other referral sources where we might be able to look at audits on sales and use tax as well. So as far as I'm concerned, unless Chris has anything to add, that particular concern I think has been asked and answered. Then the other one, Mr. Phillips had a few observations that Ms. Seddon couldn't be here at the last meeting due to a conflict of interest, and she is here today. So if there are any questions of Jana's endorsement of this program, support of this program, desire to use this program, she certainly is here and can speak to that. Otherwise, staff recommends approval of the contract.
Okay. Well, I mean, as we look at this, all forms of government in Nevada that have jurisdiction over taxation, whether it be Gaming Commission, Nevada Department of Taxation, workman's compensation, all of those, everybody has to go through the audits. I don't see this as any more burdensome than any of the other, and all it does is keep those taxpayers honest for the taxes that they're obligated to pay. So, Mr. Yadin, you have anything you want to add to this?
First off, I'd like to apologize for not being here. This process has been going on since like May, I believe it was, when we had our first meeting. And it kind of keeps almost making it to the commission and then doesn't quite. And with us trying to finish up our tax roll as of actually this afternoon is our deadline, I didn't even realize it had made it onto the agenda and it just kind of slipped through. So I just want to apologize for not being here for that. I also just kind of want to reiterate kind of what Pat was saying, and just kind of define one of the reasons why we're actually looking for someone to audit. We have such a unique situation always here in Story County. But one of the things we're also looking at is it's personal property that we're looking at auditing, and because we have two different, you know, you have two different, actually three different ways that we value taxes. And the personal property is by declarations. However, in statute, we are supposed to go out and be able to do audits just like just like we do real property, but we can go out. We can see the size of the building. We can see what they have. We can measure it. We can do what we have to do. Personal property is basically inside the building. We don't always have access. So, and not only that, there's so many different types of equipment. To be an expert or to be an accountant, to actually know what this is, how it depreciates, where it fits, what's going on, we'd almost need another person in our office, because probably about 90% of the businesses, and Lance can probably attest to this, or even Pat, their home offices are not here in Nevada. They are in other parts of the country. So therefore, it's going to require traveling to be able to go see their books, to see their audits. This is a way that we can actually take care of the business that we actually should be doing, but it's kind of out of our hands. But the uniqueness of this for Story County is, the big thing is a lot of our stuff is getting reported to Washoe County. It's not that we're looking for people that are being dishonest. We're looking for accuracy. Because where all these companies are out of state, they look at an 89434 zip code and they automatically think Washoe County. They're reporting a lot of stuff to Washoe County. Washoe County tries to find as many of those things as they can and ship it back to us, but there's a lot that's been missed. The other thing that we're also looking at is, because these home bases are in different states, there are different tax laws in every state. So therefore, what may be taxable in Arkansas or may not be taxable in Arkansas may be taxable here. So those are the kind of discrepancies we're just trying to look at and try to bring everything together. And like you said, we're looking to bring accuracy. We're not trying to point fingers at people and, you know, be the bad guy. And this has come about as the assessors are a very tight-knit group. It has been a discussion for a long time as how do we fix this, because we really just have to take these declarations that they send in, declarations, and we have to take them at face value for whatever they are. We do a lot of internet research trying to figure out what categories they fit into, what life cycles. That's how we do it. Well, I believe Washoe County 3 or 4 years ago found tax management, and we've all just kind of been sitting back waiting to see how well it works. Well, it's been working out very well. Elko County has already contracted with them. They're doing it. We have looked. I think we're the next that have actually have entered or hoping to enter into a contract. Lyon County's looking into it. Clark County's looking into it. And if they don't go with TMA or Tax Management Associates, they are definitely looking at going a route, because this is, we're all looking for accuracy to try to do our job the best that we can in the most cost-effective way to do it. So basically, that's where we're at with this. Are there any questions?
Go ahead.
Okay, so this is a one-year trial. Is that right?
The contract has a one-year out, yes.
Yeah.
It has a renewal provision, but we can also leave if...
And in that year, is there a projected number of audits that they can perform?
Basically, what we've done is, with personal property, the way that when tax management came and they spoke to us, anything that generates less than $50,000 taxable, I believe it was, value in personal property, is really not worth... cost-effective to go do the audit the time that you put in, because the change that you're, the difference that you're going to find is not going to be substantial enough to cover the costs of actually doing the audit. So we're looking at businesses that have over $50,000, $50,000 and above of personal property taxable value. So what we're doing, and it's also broken down, tax management has four different categories. And I'm not sure what those – I apologize. I don't know what those breakdowns are. I should have brought that with me. It's probably – I don't know if it's in your book.
I think you have it.
Anyhow, I know we have like A, B, C, D, and D3s. D3 are going to be our largest. And unfortunately, it looks like we're targeting the industrial park. But in Story County, that's really where all of our personal property is. However, you're going to get like Calcan that's not – a lot of people think that's in the industrial park, but it's not. They're going to fall into it. Possibly Manise. You have other businesses that are going to be in the smaller categories. But in the larger categories, they're all going to fall into that industrial park area. And so what we'll do is we'll take however many accounts that we have and look at dividing them over three, because that's kind of where we're hoping to go. But basically the 1 year is, let's see how it goes the first year. If it's productive, if it helps us out, then we'll continue with the contract. So basically we're just trying to look at 3 years and divide all the accounts that we have that's over $50,000 into a three-year period. And I'm not sure, Pat, I know, did have a breakdown of that.
Yeah, I did not bring that breakdown with me, but there are businesses located outside of the industrial park proper, as Janet has mentioned. And I think it's been our intent all along is to really give this a good 1 year. Theoretically, this program, we should gross more revenue than we're paying in expenses. There may be one or two individual audits that actually reflect, hey, you're declaring an item you no longer have. There'll be a few of those. But overall, the underreported recovery rates typically, I think, are in the 30% nationally, TMA is experiencing. And Washoe County, in its first several years of running this program on an intermittent basis, they had a year, they skipped a year, I think, they went another year. Their recovery rates have been above 70%.
So. Has there been any overstated rates?
Have they been paying too much tax?
Yes, yeah.
On rare occasion, they have told us that they may have items that are declared but no longer in use. The accounting offices don't necessarily know that that machine died 3 years ago and went away. So. There is a bit of that.
Okay. Can a company, being this is a trial period, what if a company doesn't want you to come in and do that?
TMA.
Do they have an out, or is
no? No. TMA acts under the full authority of JANA as assessor, and their right to audit the declarations. But let me go ahead and take that one step further, too. They stressed with us, you know, there are, and Mr. Gallagher can probably attest to this, there are multiple kinds of auditors. There's the gotcha kind that all they want to do is, you know, search and destroy. You know, and then there's the others. And they realize that this is a business relationship that the county holds with our individual corporate citizens. And they, again, gave us attestations that the process is always done on a friendly, helpful, you know, open way, and not the stormtroopers coming in.
That's exactly how we want it to be, because I've worked really hard in the office to try to be open and friendly and leave it open for discussion for the businesses and anybody to talk. We do not want to go in with a heavy hand and, like I said, pointing fingers and, you know, accusing. That's not how we want. We just want accuracy is what we're looking for. And in all honesty, most of your business are looking for the same thing. So, and I'm sure they will find things that they're reporting that has disappeared, that is gone, that's no longer, and the same thing, finding it being reported in Washoe County or Lyon County. We have that uniqueness where we're really close than a lot of different things. And, you know, that's a lot of companies don't mind. If you go in and you're not pushy and bossy and basically try to shove it down their throats, they're very receptive 99% of the time, because most businesses want accurate reporting as well.
Especially if they find they're paying a lower tax rate in Story County.
Yes.
What's the cycle for this type of audit? Do you have any kind of...
Timing-wise?
Well, let's say you audit a company this year. I mean, you maybe 4 years you can audit them again, or what?
And I think we discussed that. We may want to on some of them. You know, if you have, let's just say statistically, 50% of the companies are fully accurate with no findings one way or another. You know, none missing, none not reported. You know, we may not want to look at those again for quite some time. We hope to, if it works, we hope to get through all of the categories that Jana mentioned. And there are, by the way, only two top-tier ones. When we looked at that, there are only two. But we would probably hope to do the bulk, if not all, of the businesses with more than $50,000 in taxable value. Taxable value. We had to go through that the other day again. Within a 3-year cycle. So we'll divvy it up with about a third this year. Based on those results, we'll let the contract renew automatically the next year or not, and then the following year. And then we'll kind of take another look at it. That's why I think Washoe County's been doing actually a pretty good job of, you know, not constantly turning these over.
And cycle-wise, I think it's going to depend on if businesses are expanding. You know, if they've done a large expansion or, you know, bringing in a ton more personal property and doing stuff, they may be, you know, we may end up auditing them in the fourth year or, you know, and I think it's really going to depend on what we find. This is going to be kind of, right now it's going to be an as-you-go sort of thing because I really can't see auditing a business every 4 years. I mean, unless they're really growing and building and stuff like that. I think it's going to be just, we're going to have to play that by ear.
Okay, this is an action item, so we'll take any public comment on this.
And just one more addition. Mr. Cook, who's the president of TMA, we provided him our list of businesses that, you know, met those thresholds. The 50,000 and above. And he indicated that many of them they're already auditing. They may not be auditing the Walmart Food Distribution Center in McCarran, but they are auditing Walmart across the nation for other local government clients. So they're used to the processes.
Okay. Once again, any public comment? Mr. Thompson. Also, if you have companies that make announcements that they're going to do $300 million in new acquisitions of equipment and it doesn't show up on the declaration of the following year, they might be game for an audit.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Mr. McGuffey, Madam District Attorney, and Mr. County Manager. My name is Chris Thompson. I'm the project manager at TRI. We did submit a letter where we overall support this program. The letter had one caveat in it that I would ask to highlight this morning, and that is this. Many of these companies out here have highly proprietary floor layouts in their facility. A good example is Switch. Switch's floor layout is a very specialized building layout between the electronics, between the cooling mechanisms, between the security mechanisms they have. And so these floor layouts are often proprietary. Also, the equipment layouts, for instance, the Tesla equipment, what equipment they use, how they use it, how their production line is laid out is a highly proprietary item. Also, it should be highlighted that the companies like Tesla and Switch are both very security conscious from people coming in trying to steal their technology, people coming in trying to see how they're doing business. We know the Chinese are very interested in what's going on in our park. Our own website has been hacked 3 times in the last year out of China. So we know they are here. We know they're looking. And because of all that, we ask and respectfully request that a lot of attention be paid to the security of the information that this company gathers. If they are taking photographs or videotapes on site, we ask that be secure. In a very high security environment, that the file retention, the file destruction, in the event of after a period of time, that be highly controlled. Because if any of this information gets out, for instance, if a floor layout or pictures or videos were to leak out on some of these sites, it would be not only a heavy impact on that company, but I think it would reflect on our county's ability to manage these companies. So we totally support this program. We just ask that very special care be paid to the security of the information. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson. Any other public comment? Seeing none, I'm looking for a motion to approve in and into a contract with Tax Management Associates, period of 1 year.
I'll make a motion to approve a contract with Tax Management Associates Incorporated, known as TMA. Pursuant to the contract, TMA will provide audit service on behalf of Story County Assessor's Office to verify accuracy of business taxpayers' listing of personal property for ad valorem taxation.
Second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to enter into a contract with TMA. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Welcome back. Moving along now to item number 14, discussion of possible action, approval of transfer of appropriations pursuant to NRS 354-598005. Mr. Gallagher, you can take lead on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. This is a item which we have been talking about for quite some time, and especially during the first quarter budgets that we had early on in October. We have, as you may know, in June of last year or June of this year, we had a couple of appropriations, transfers of appropriations from contingency in the general fund. And we also had some augmentations because of higher than anticipated revenue in certain other funds. We're going to try and make a little more cognizant of those items which were really not budgeted for which came from either the legislature or something that was just unfounded. And it came to the fact last year at the last quarter budget when a lot of our department heads' budget was, because of an unforeseen incident or an unforeseen legislation, was explaining the overage in their budget for all three periods. And so we're going to see if this kind of shortens the time for their thing, since we all agreed on it on the first quarter budget stuff. And so with this, we'll give this a little trial period and see what happens. You have before you transfer appropriations from the contingency fund within the general fund on the various items that you are looking at. A lot of it, the salaries, PERS, PACT, and Medicare for commissioners, clerk treasurer, the clerk longevity, recorder, assessor, sheriff, district attorney, and justice court have all to do with the increases per the last legislative session, which was done after our budgets were submitted. And so consequently, that put us in an overage position and will throughout the year. So consequently, we are transferring funds that will get them whole for the entire year for just those particular items. Groundwater and administration, we're going to increase $4,000, and this is a state fee on new groundwater basin per NRS 350 or 534, and it is a bill that we get from the state. I'm going to take a look at this a little bit and see why they're billing us instead of the individual owners. May something that may not be a worthwhile endeavor, but I think I need to do it. And passing it on to the individual property owners is probably a tremendous endearing.
And that is exactly why. This is a new groundwater basin. This happens to be mostly out in the River District area, Tri and Lockwood Rainbow Bend. But we have a Dayton groundwater basin already, and the amounts are so small that if we apportioned those onto everybody's individual property taxes, it would cost us more in software accounting than just paying the bill. So you're right on the mark, Hugh. It's just not worth. We have to pay it. It has to be paid. But we opt to pay it for the owners and have an equal tax rate.
Does that include the Highlands as well?
The Highlands is not. I'll get back to you on that one. The Highlands may be in Dayton, depending.
The next one for equipment maintenance for the recorder and the clerk. This is a it's a maintenance fee for a GUI interface for software, which was just kind of omitted during the budget process. The new developments that came from ADS, and this basically takes it from a function key concept to a point and click, which gives our clerk treasurer and our recorder the ability to point and click. Therefore, it greatly reduces the time that they have to do transactions within their various departments. And then professional fees for administration changed because of a change of a third-party administrator for unemployment claim services. The total is for this period is $27,549. If there's any questions, I'll certainly try and answer.
Any questions? Jack, anything for you?
And if I can chime in on the third-party claims administrator for unemployment, while we're paying unanticipated money, they have already prevailed on one or more unemployment claims with a much more successful, much more positive outcome for the county than our prior claims administrator. So it'll more than pay for itself.
I may also say that probably in January, February, or at the very least March, since we didn't budget for any anticipated monies because the agreements with our new developers out in the park for services had not been signed, had not been released yet, and those funds have since come in. There will be other funds for which we'll augment for higher than anticipated revenues because their budgets will be, for the most part, over because of those services that they render.
All right, this is an action item. You have more?
Yeah, just one more. Just a reminder again. This is, you know, when we do our budgets, we don't know what we're going to get from the state. So we're kind of hung up to dry until, you know, we get as close as we can, and then we wait to see what they're going to do.
Okay. Every other year.
We came fairly close, not too far off.
We'll take public comment on this. Anybody have anything? Hearing none? Okay. Looking for a motion to approve the transfer of the appropriations to the MRS 354-598005.
I'll move to approve the transfer appropriations pursuant to NRS 354-598005.
I'll second that motion.
Been moved and second to approve the transfer for appropriations. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 15. This is discussion of possible action. Approval of the liquor license, second reading. A, the Palace Restaurant Saloon at 54 South C Street, Virginia City, Nevada. Robert and Nicole Wilkinson requesting to add off sale to the existing liquor license. And then item B, the Gold Hill Hotel, 1540 South Main Street, Gold Hill, Nevada. Same owners, Robert and Nicole Wilkinson requesting to add off sale to the existing liquor license there as well. Sheriff.
The applicants in both of these are just asking to expand their existing license. They've been license holders for a number of years, no complaints, no problems. This is just going to be to allow them to sell booze to go, basically. So.
Very good. Okay. Is there any public comment on this item? Let's go ahead and we'll take it in two parts. We'll ask for approval for item A first, the Palace Restaurant and Saloon.
I'll move to approve the liquor license, second reading for the Palace Restaurant and Saloon.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and second to approve the Palace Restaurant and Saloon's liquor license off sale. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to B on this.
I move to approve the liquor license, second reading for the Gold Hill Hotel.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the Gold Hill Hotel for the off-sale liquor license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Moving along now to community development and planning, item 16. Discussion and possible action to approve the second reading of Ordinance 15-270.
So, Mr. Chairman, due to NRS 281A.420, it requires me to disclose a conflict of interest in this item. I believe it's a clear case of disqualifying conflict of interest, and I'm going to be abstaining from voting or entering in discussions on this matter.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Mr. Osmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. I provided a presentation on this item last time, just a very brief summary. This is a second reading of the moratorium on planned unit developments and subdivisions of five parcels or more. It does not affect special use permits, variances, parcel maps of four or less parcels, and other such planning applications. I'm asking for a motion for approval of this. This will expire at the end of this fiscal year on June 30th, 2016, and allowing us to complete the Story County Master Plan, for which we do believe will be complete by that time.
Jack, do you have anything you want to add to this?
No, I've been attending all the Planning Commission meetings and there's town hall meetings, and I'm saturated.
All right. How about any public comment on this? Okay. Hearing none, I'll call for a motion to approve the second reading of Ordinance 15-270.
I'll make a motion to approve second reading of Ordinance 15-270, an ordinance extending the interim development regulations affecting Title 16 and 17 of the Story County Code by extending through June 30th, 2016, Title 16A, establishing minimum interim requirements for subdivision map approvals, and Title 17A by limiting master plan amendments for approvals of plan unit developments during the master plan approval process, and providing for other property related matters. The moratorium subdivision and planned unit developments will be in effect until the comprehensive update to the Story County Master Plan is adopted or July 1st, 2016, whichever comes first.
I'll second your motion. It's been moved and second to approve Ordinance 15-270. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along to item number 17.
Mr. Chairman, before we move on, the DA and staff have been consulting on this, and I think we'd like to call the sheriff back up, clearly get on the record all four votes for the liquor licenses for both the Gold Hill and the Palace. And, again, identify that you are also convening as the liquor board and not the board of commissioners. So if you just call for the vote again as the liquor license.
Yep, okay. Okay, so at this time we'll convene as the Story County Liquor Board. Recess the Story County Board of
so
County Commission.
So we're going back to
Item 15. Okay, so with the Liquor Board convened, at this time we're going to go ahead and approve the liquor license for the second reading for the Palace Restaurant and Saloon, 54 South C Street. Motion to the effect?
I'll make a motion to approve the liquor license, second reading for the Palace Restaurant and Saloon.
I'll second that motion.
Been moved and seconded to approve the Palace Restaurant and Saloon's liquor license for off sale. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Okay. That's unanimous. We're going to move along now to item B, the Gold Hill Hotel for off-sale liquor license. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Oh, excuse me. I have a motion on this, please.
I'll move to approve the liquor license, second reading for the Gold Hill Hotel.
I'll second that motion.
And moved in second to approve the Gold Hill Hotels off-sale liquor license. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. We're going to go ahead and recess as Astoria County Liquor Board and reconvene as Astoria County Board of County Commissioners. Moving along now to item number 17, possible action licensing. This is the licensing board second readings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Community Development recommends that we continue the final three items appearing on your agenda, items II, JJ, and KK. Those would be Modern Mining Solutions, LLC, By Nutraceuticals, Inc., and Rich Doss, Inc., to be continued.
All right. Commissioners, I need a motion to continue items II, JJ, and KK.
I so move.
I'll second that motion.
Moving in second to continue the following II, JJ, and KK. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Okay. And Community Development recommends that you approve items A through Z and also items AA through HH. And if it's the pleasure of the board, I will read each and every one of those like we usually do, but they are clearly listed in the agenda and in the supporting material as well.
I think that if there's no objections in light of time, we'll go ahead and look for a motion to approve items A through HH.
I so move.
I'll second.
Moved and second to approve the following items A through HH. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Now we're moving along to item number 18, public comment. Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned.